Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's a wonderful passage. We're talking about redemption and exactly what redemption means in our lives, and it's to be set free or to be delivered from. So Jesus Christ paid a price to set us free, to deliver us from the bondage of sin and death. And here we're going to look at the positive side of it, for. So he redeemed us from, so that we could be redeemed for. And it's Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, but when the set time had fully come. I love this passage.
Yes.
You know, why was Jesus born at the time that he was born? Why did he enter in the world way back 2,000 years ago? Because it was the right time.
The set time.
It was the set time according to God the Father. We look around today and we wonder if the set time for his return is close at hand. But we don't know that. But there is a set time for that as well. And when that set time arrives, Jesus Christ will arrive, just as he did the first time. So when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. So we see the humanity of Christ. We see that he was subject to the law, just as you and I were. And he was subject to those things to redeem us, those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you were his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So God sent Jesus at the right time to pay the price to redeem us from those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. That's what we were redeemed for, adoption to sonship. And this is a very powerful word, this word adoption. Paul uses it exclusively. I don't think any of the other apostles use this word, and he uses it five different times in his writings. And he takes a concept, a Roman and Greek concept of adoption. And Richard, tell us a little bit of what that meant back in those days and what it means to us today as children of God.
Sure. In this particular time in the first century, if a Roman father, usually this would be in the rich class or political class, somebody with some clout, if he didn't have a son, or if he didn't like his son. Remember, Roman fathers had the right, literally, of life and death over their children. So if his son had done something he didn't like, he might have him done away with. But he needed an heir. He needed someone to carry on the family name and to take on the family responsibility. He would look around among his friends or the people he knew and look for a young man who was a cut above, someone that he thought he could trust with the family name and with the family fortune. And they would begin this process whereby that son would cease to be the son of the father to whom he was born. His last name was Smith. That last name was wiped out. And he would be declared very legally, very publicly, to be the son of Jones. The Smith name goes away, the Jones name becomes his name, and he was never a Smith as far as Roman law was concerned. So he became the full son, full heir of everything his father had. And that's what Paul is saying here, that those of us who have accepted Jesus, who far from the father throwing out on the trash heap because he did so badly, is saying, my son was so successful that I want other sons and daughters, and I will adopt you and change your name from dead sinner to alive saint, and you will never be that dead sinner again. In fact, you are a fellow heir with Jesus himself. Nothing could be stronger in terms of relationship definition.
And that's an irrevocable declaration by God, as it was in the Roman world. I mean, once somebody adopted and declared that person to be their son, then that was a permanent thing.
Absolutely.
That was a lifelong thing. So
yes.
Here, as far as God is concerned, when he adopts us into sonship, then that's an eternal reality. That's mm-hmm. not something that will ever be revoked.
Yeah.
He's not going to pick us up as
mind.
A child of God one day and say, I made a mistake. I'm going to boot you out of the family.
No.
That's not how God works. And I think that's a powerful truth for us to grasp mm-hmm. hold of. The other aspect of this adoption to sonship, full rights of son, that's
yes.
how some translations put it. I think there's a declaration here that God is saying that we now have rights to the family business.
Yes.
That we're not just little children that are being brought up, that we can engage and participate in the family business.
Mm-hmm.
We're full members of this kingdom of God and are going to be used by God to advance the kingdom here in this world. And I think that's a powerful statement as well.
Yes.
And all of this is a result of being made a child, being made an heir. These are things that are gifted to us, not something that we've earned, not something that we've contracted for. This is something that has come to us by gift, by choice, by inheritance. That's what we receive as children of God. So we have the Spirit of God that has come to live inside of us to verify this truth to us time and time and time again. Why? Because we need that. We need that. Sometimes we don't feel like children of God. Sometimes we don't act like children of God. And certainly we have an enemy that's always raising doubts as to yes. the validity of what God has done in our lives. So a lot of times we go through life wondering. But yet we have the Spirit of God living inside of us who calls out Abba Father, who is bearing witness with our human spirits that indeed we have been adopted as sons, that we belong, that we're a part of the family of God. We have full rights as sons. We are heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's good news. So we were redeemed from the law of sin and death so that we could experience full sonship in Christ. That's good news.
That is good news, and you hear it daily on Basic Gospel. We'd love for you to be a part of this edition. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Well, Bob and Richard, all the things that you've just talked about were revealed in that little country of Israel.
Yes, it was. And, we started today's discussion when the time had fully come. Well,
yes.
The time's about to come for our trip to Israel next February 7th through the 18th, 2017. Mm-hmm. Just the perfect time of the year to go. It's a little cooler than at other times. There's not as many people in the country during the month of February as in other times, around particular holidays, the resurrection, the Passover, all the different Jewish festivals. The population swells in Israel. But in February, the tourism is not as at its peak. So this will give us great opportunity to really absorb the land,
yeah.
to really take it in and spend the time necessary to see how Scripture talks about the land and what happened at the various sites. Certainly this month we're talking about redemption. We're going to see the sites where that redemption was purchased through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We're going to retrace those final steps that he took from the Garden of Gethsemane all the way to Calvary and then the empty tomb.
Yeah.
And we're going to see where all of that took place. It is a marvelous trip. The deadline to register, and this is just to reserve your spot. You will need to put a deposit down, but the deadline to do that is August 1st. So we want to have this trip filled out by August 1st. We're only taking 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a small group to begin with, and we did that purposefully. There are many groups that, you know, will take 500 over 1,000. Yeah. It's just impossible to move through the land with any sense of efficiency and any sense of we can really take our time and absorb what's going on or what went on at these particular sites. So we did this purposely. When you get over there, when you go through the land with us, you will see why we did that, and you will be grateful that we did. So come join us. All the information available at our website.
Yeah, click the events tab at basicgospel.net. As Bob said, all the information's there and the opportunity to register there online. Again, at the events tab at basicgospel.net. Well, right now, plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. If you have something you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, Kurt would like us to discuss the issue of the Gentiles. He says, isn't it true that every Bible character before God called Abraham was a Gentile? There were no Jews before Abraham was called, so technically everyone from Abraham to Noah and his three sons and everyone else was non-Jewish and therefore Gentile. I never hear anyone touch on this. Would you please do so?
Well, I think he's right on as far as that is that is concerned. God reached out to Abraham. He reached out to him with blessings and promises. That's how he enters into all of our lives. That's called grace. And so we see that manifested in his conversation with Abraham. But he says, through your bloodline, the world is going to be blessed, or through your offspring, through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. And that promise went from Abraham to Isaac, and then from Isaac to Jacob.
Yep.
It should have gone through Esau.
Yes.
But God had chosen beforehand that the blessing would go through Jacob, the younger. So the older would serve the younger. That's how God set it up. That was of his choosing. That was something that he brought into existence. And then from Jacob, it went through Judah all the way through Jesus. So that bloodline became the Jewish people, the people of God. But they had a purpose, and that was to bring Messiah into the world. And now that Jesus came into the world at the right time, he became a blessing to everyone, to both Jew and Gentile. So God is calling out from among all the people of the world a special people that become the people of God. He does so by grace. We enter in through faith in Jesus. And as we do, we become the people of God. And there are people, both Jew and Gentile, that make up the people of God today. So before Abraham was, there was no such thing as Jew and Gentile. There were just the people of the world. And even back then, there were people who would have been known as the people of God. And then there were other people. So Noah and his family would have been a part of the people of God. So that's God is always interested in calling out a people for himself. He always does so by grace through faith, always in the promise of the coming Messiah. Now that Messiah has come, now that Jesus is on the scene, now that he is fully alive, he's calling us to have faith in him as well today. But we know the reality of Christ. Back then, it was just a promise of his coming. Mm-hmm. Today, we know the reality of Christ Jesus himself living inside of us. So we are now the people of God, and this group is made up of both Jew and Gentile.
Yeah, Kirk, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you'd like to drop us an email and pose your question by email, you can do that by addressing us at bob@basicgospel.net. Again, bob@basicgospel.net. Once again, plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad. Welcome to Basic Gospel, my friend.
Hello, Brad. You're up. Or maybe you're not.
Well, maybe not. We might go back to him. But he's asking us to discuss what it means to be set free. And I think that's such an important discussion. I was thinking about this here recently. You know, we see a lot of external pictures of what it means to be set free. I think of Shawshank Redemption, a great movie, yeah. One of my favorites. And Red has come to a point. He stayed in prison for a long time. He goes up before the parole board, and they say, hey, we're going to release you. And there's this unlocking of the prison door, of him walking out of that prison and then shutting the door behind him. And he's free. They've given him a new set of clothes. They've given him, some cash in his pocket. They've given him a place to live, a job, all of those sort of things. He has a way of life. Well, there's an external picture of what happens. But as far as God is concerned, it's an internal thing. So God goes down into the recesses of our hearts where we're really bound up to sin and death. And he unlocks those chains right there. And we go free in our spirits, in our souls, in our hearts, in our minds. And that's a freedom that no one can take away from us. God isn't going to grab us and put those chains on us again. He's unlocked those chains. They've fallen free from us, and we've gone free. So it's from sin and death. So we've been set free from the penalty of sin. Jesus took that for us. We've been set free from the power of sin. We were once under the control of sin. Sin was our master. Mm-hmm. Now that relationship has been severed, so we're no longer under the power of sin. And one day when we get new bodies and go to be with the Lord, we're going to be totally free from the presence of sin. So we're set free from the penalty. We're set free from the power. We're set free from the presence. That's what it means to be set free. But we've also been set free for a purpose, and that's what we talked about today, set free to experience a trust relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't think we spend enough time on that side of the equation. We're very good at talking about what we've been set free from, but not what we've been set free for.
Yeah.
And we hope to rectify that over the next couple of weeks as we continue our discussion on redemption and really what it means to live as a child of God in this world today.
Yeah.
Well, if you've been listening to this conversation, especially about the adoption part of this, some of you have experienced that in really powerful ways. You knew what it was to be a slave of sin and death, and you know what it is to have been set free from that and set free to become a child of God. And regardless of the goodness or badness of the father you grew up with, you have discovered the incredible blessing of being a child of the true Father, God the Father. Well, there are other people out there listening to this who need to be set free from sin and death and be set free in order to become children of God. You can help them take that step by donating to us. We don't do this because we're so good at it. We do this because we can't help but talk about it.
Right.
This is our life. This is what we do because God has given this to us to do. And he's given it to you to partner with us, to come alongside other people who need to be set free in ways that only you can do. And one of those ways is by donating and helping us pay for all of this. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for what we know that you're already doing. And we just invite you to let the Spirit lead you to whatever it is going to be next in terms of your giving.
Absolutely. You can do that right now and speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Lines are open to that particular number right now as well, 844-412-2742. Join us, friends. We would love to have you to partner with us. And Richard and Bob, one of the people that you were talking about, you know, so many times we talk with folks on the air, and later they come back to say, thank you for what you shared. And that's true of Diogenes. He just wrote us just a very nice note. He said, I really appreciate the work of Jesus Christ that you're doing. I learned something new from a recent program on Basic Gospel, the invaluable price of the precious blood of Christ. People don't realize the value of the blood, and it cannot be compared with anything in this world. Thank you for your ministry. So, you know, they do come back and they say thanks for what they've heard, and we appreciate hearing from Diogenes. Well, another one that we appreciate hearing from is Teresa, a friend up in New York, and she has a question. She says, I'm having a hard time understanding the judgment seat of Christ. In Matthew 12:36, it says that we're going to give an account for every idle word and so forth. Is this old covenant? I recently had someone tell me that when believers stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we will have to give an account for how we have spent our money, how we took care of our body, and everything else. And since it is Christ working through us, and he is the one that has equipped and gifted the body, will all Christians be equal, or will some be esteemed higher than others? That's from Teresa.
Well, thanks, Teresa. We appreciate you writing to us on that particular topic. In Matthew 12:36, but I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. And I think it's important for us to connect some dots here. Mm-hmm. And the dot needs to be picked up in the book of Romans. So we need to draw a line from this passage over to Romans chapter 10, where Paul says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what are the words that we speak? Those words that we speak reflect the beliefs within our hearts. So if we truly believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, then the words on our lips are going to be this, that Jesus Christ is Lord, mm-hmm. and we are going to submit to him. So what words are we going to be acquitted by, and what words will condemn us? Well, the words that Jesus Christ is Lord. Those are the things that will acquit us. When we say anything other than that about Jesus, we stand condemned. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit into the world, and he's going to judge the world wrong concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because the world does not believe in me. So as a lost sinner, our words reflect a heart of unbelief, a rejection of Christ Jesus, a rebellion toward God. Well, when the grace of God moves us and brings us to a point of clarity, when we see the plan of God in Jesus Christ, then our heart goes from unbelief to belief, and our words change accordingly. We Yes. begin to speak that Jesus Christ is Lord. So that's what this particular passage is all about. So the issue, you know, everybody is going to be judged, and the point of judgment is this: what have you done with Jesus? So the lost, they're going to say, we've rejected Jesus. We're going to say, we've done things, and God, you should look at our works, and those works should save us. And God is going to look at them and say, depart from me, because I never knew you. Why? Because they rejected Jesus. They lived in rebellion toward Jesus. Those of us who are saved, we're going to say, we're only here by the grace of God.
Yes.
We're only here because Jesus did what he did, and our full weight of trust is fully in him. And there, God is going to say, you know, enter in. So it all gets down to what have we done with Jesus. Now, as far as believers, I think we're going to get to see how God has used us in this world today. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience, one that we will cherish. I think it's something that we should long for. And anything that's been done in the flesh, that's just going to burn up. We're not even going to worry about that. But those things that God has done through us, we're going to see his hand, and it is just going to be such an incredible blessing. And it all gets back to this redemption that we've received yes. in Christ Jesus, and that's good news.
That is good news. You know, friends, we have many deeply moving phone calls from people who are experiencing a crisis in their lives, and because Basic Gospel is live, we were able to help them in their moment of need. Basic Gospel is different in the world of Christian radio because we can reach out at the exact moment when someone needs to hear about the love of Jesus. As partners with us in the gospel, your gifts are vitally important so that we can continue to proclaim Jesus to those who need to hear. We ask you to help today with the most generous gift you can afford to keep Basic Gospel live on the air and online. And with your gift of $20 or more, you'll receive a copy of Bob Christopher's brand-new message, Freedom Fighters, showing how to live in and live out the freedom that is yours in Christ Jesus. Click donate at basicgospel.net. That's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, glad you're with us today. Now for Bob Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then.